Well, good morning, church. We are in our last week, sad days, sad times. We're in our last week of our detox series. In our first week, we talked about toxic influences, and then if we allow toxic influences from the outside to affect the inside, we're going to end up with a toxic soul. And then the next week, or I guess last week, talked about toxic fears. And what happens is when we let fears from the outside, when we let the little bit of the rope, remember the rope, the little red piece of the rope, when we let that dictate the rest of the rope, it can cause toxicity within our souls. And so we need to identify those fears so that doesn't happen. And this morning, I'm so excited, this morning, we're going to be rolling out the triple bypass, if you will, when it comes to our soul detox. And we're going to be talking about toxic words. Everybody say words. Everybody say words. There we go. I got to remember, this is my last week, so I got to have you guys just yelling at me today. This is good. If you have your Bibles, open up James chapter 3, because we can't talk about words or talking or our tongues at all without opening up James chapter 3. So if your Bibles, turn there. If not, it'll be on the screen. But we're going to be reading verses 2 through 12 this morning, and it says this: "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on by fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of a deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from a spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." I want to pray for us this morning, because this morning I feel like God has told me to tell you something incredibly, incredibly important, and I can't do it on my own. So I want to pray, and then we're going to get into it. Father God, we want to just take a moment and pause and reflect on your word. Father, I ask for a blessing in this place, and I ask that your spirit would be moving in this place. Teach us something new, and may the glory be yours forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. See, because what we say matters. What we say matters. In fact, a few months ago, I was fortunate enough to be able to do a talk on speaking life. And you have to remember that I had you say speak life about 100 times so that you would remember to speak life day in and day out. And we have to understand that when we use words, when we talk, what we say, even if it's nonverbal, even how we approach things, ladies, you remind your husband of that all the time. It's not what you said, it's how you said it, right? What we say, how we communicate, it matters. It carries a lot of weight. I want to talk more deeply in this idea of words and how they can really be a toxic contributor to our soul. Because I got to ask a question. Do you actually think about every single word that comes out of your mouth before you say it? Do you really sit and think about every single word? Because I know I don't. And that sometimes gets me into trouble. I don't always think about it. And as we looked at the idea of speaking life, when we look at what we say, and if we do it correctly, life can truly be given. Because James gives us a very powerful reminder, a very, very, very powerful reminder, that if we can get our tongues under control, if we can truly think about the things that we say before we say them, not after the fact, but before we say them, in his words, we can control the entire body. We can be perfect if we can get this thing under control. But as James reminds us, it's a restless evil. a restless evil, because communication is a key part in our lives. Communication helps us have, great friendships, great relationships, helps us raise our kids, helps our marriages, helps teaching, whatever it is. We use it for basically every aspect of every day. We use words, we use communications to just be able to communicate with the outside world. We use it every day. And yet, how often do we actually think about the things that we're saying, and how often do we think of the weight that we bring whenever we're saying something to somebody else? Because if it's used correctly, it can bring life. If it's used incorrectly, it can absolutely bring destruction. If it's used incorrectly, words can hurt for a very long time. Because how many of you guys have heard that old adage? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. I had that actually posted on my fridge as a kid. I remember reading that all the time and going, that's a great saying. It is. It's a great idea. But you know what? Let's be honest. Words sometimes hurt. Sometimes what people say about us, it really hurts. Especially when they're just being malicious and just, they're just going after. It hurts. It absolutely hurts. And the reality is, sticks and stones may leave bruises for a couple of days, but words will leave scars that last for years. And I wonder how many of us in this room are actually carrying scars from what people have said about us. How long, if you look back over your life, how many scars do we actually have about what people have said about us, and do we still carry those today? This is why James is so adamant that we know that our tongues are a restless evil. It's something so small. It's something so simple. And yet it can cause so much hurt. Are you beginning to see the theme that's kind of throughout this series? That if we don't guard our hearts, if we don't allow the influences and fears and the words of the outside world, if we allow those things to come in and to scar our hearts, do you realize that we have to put up guards for that stuff? We talked about it the first week. I'm going to remind you, hopefully me saying it 3 weeks in a row, well, it'll finally start to get through. Is that if we don't guard our hearts, if we don't use God's word to put up protection from the outside world, guess what? It's going to rip us apart. Absolutely rip us apart. Because when we allow toxic influences and fears and words to be built up over time, then the word, capital W, you're going to see me do this a lot, the word, talking about scripture, it can't take root. It's the classic parable of the seed. When it falls into thorns, when it falls into a toxic environment, guess what? It may go and it may spring up or may not or whatever, but guess what? The thorns are going to choke it out. It's absolutely going to choke it out because toxic breeds toxic. And when we allow our mouths to run about every little thing that we once it's just pop in our head, we want to just talk about it, we want to say it, not always a good idea. If we don't keep that in check, it becomes a dangerous weapon. Now, I know I wouldn't be doing my job well if we didn't talk about something actually to do, if we didn't give you an action to follow through, because we want to live 6-8 lives, don't we? That's why we're here. That's why we continue to come back time and time again. I can't tell you, in the year and so that I've been here, I've heard Steve say live 6-8 probably a million times, and that's not an exaggeration. Because not only does it say it here 100 times, just imagine how staff meetings go. It's all the time. But it helps because we go, oh, that's right. Living 6-8 lives. Because living 6-8 lives, we talked about this a little bit last week, is it's about action. It's about actually going out and doing something. And frankly, it's going out and living a life that makes the enemy angry. It's the living a life that actually makes the devil pay attention and say, hey, what are you doing over there? Stop that. I don't like that. And you know what? If he's doing that, awesome. Because you know what? I want to make him upset. I don't want to make him happy. I don't want him to be like, oh, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. That's fine. That's cool with me. I'll go bother this person over here who's actually doing something for the kingdom. I want to be that person. I've always said that. I want to be that person that the enemy looks at me and goes, hey, knock it off. I don't like that. In the words of Larry Osborne, a great leader and a great man, a great communicator, it's time for us to begin to play offense with the gates of hell with a squirt gun. Because you realize that that's all it takes is for us as Christians to go and storm the gates of hell with a squirt gun. And if Jesus is behind us, guess what? We're going to prevail. We're going to prevail if all we run at it is with a tiny, it doesn't even have to be a big super soaker. It can be one of those kid ones that you buy from the dollar store. And guess what? We're going to prevail. But that takes some action on our part. Right? That's what this whole idea is. We can't approach the gates with a squirt gun as if what's in our squirt gun is yuck and toxic and plaque and just, ugh. We can't approach the gates that way. Do you realize that God wants us to sin no more? Do you know that that's the ultimate standard for us as Christians? For us to sin no more? That's it. God wants us to repent from our earthly selves. That means turning away from the lives that we once lived and live the way like Jesus lived. In the situation where the woman is caught in adultery, right, and you have all these people standing around her and they're ready to toss a rock at her and ready to stone her because she was caught in the act of adultery, then Jesus shows up as he does and he goes, hey, anyone who's without sin, cast the first stone. Be my guest. Do it. Anybody without sin. And you know, he starts writing in the sand. Some people believe he was actually writing their sins in the sand. And one by one, they put down their stones and began to walk away and walk away. And eventually, they were all gone. And Jesus goes over to the woman and says, where are your accusers? Does anybody else accuse you? She looks up and says, no, Lord. And I can just see it. Jesus is so gentle with her and leans down and just says, then neither do I condemn you. But what are his words to her? Go and sin no more. Go and leave your life of sin. Then right after that, Jesus speaks to them again. This is John 8:12. He says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, if we follow Jesus, the idea is that we don't sin anymore. The idea is that we can actually have some taming on our tongue. That we follow the light and we're not swooned by the darkness. Because the darkness is there to trip us up. Hence why this entire series has been called Soul Detox, because we don't detox just to swallow poison. We don't detox just to swallow poison. We don't get clean for Jesus. We don't say, I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to add this. I'm going to stop doing this one sin that you've convicted me of, and thank you, Jesus, for convicting me of it. But now I'm going to actually go over here because I've never tried this before. We don't say it that way, but that's how our lives actually acted out. I've never done this before. So I'm going to get caught up and swooned over here. We don't do that. At least we shouldn't do that. 1 John goes into greater detail about this. And this is what I love about Scripture, is as you begin to read it, as we should be, as we've been challenging you for 2 weeks now, I'm going to challenge it to you again. Continue to read his word. It's almost like you can't just take little verses anymore. You have to go, oh my goodness, this is just, what he's saying here is just brilliant. 1 John chapter 1 says this. This is the message we have heard from him, talking about Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, this is important. Put this next little section as a tagline, because John continues with this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we do not have sin, we make him out to be a liar. And his word, little w, his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sin of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, concert Christian, remember? looking out at Toby Mac and said, I know that guy. I've been to his concert. No, you don't. You have no idea who that guy is. You just went to his concert. When we yell out and we say, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Whew. Let that soak in for a second. Because what is John saying? John is saying exactly that. John is saying that our lives are to look like Jesus' life. That we can live the way Jesus lived. We're not going to be Jesus. We can't ever achieve to be Jesus. But we can live like Jesus. And this is what we're called to. This is why we need the triple bypass surgery for our lives and for our souls. Because we let it go too far. And what happens when it goes too far? It's no wonder it's really hard to follow Jesus every single day when we got so much gunk going on in here. It's no wonder we just simply have too much spiritual plaque in our arteries. We have too much gunk going on, so we wonder all the time, we're like, man, God, why is this so hard to follow you day in and day out? Well, how much gunk isn't letting it in? How much stuff is blocking him out? See, when we talk about toxic words that gunk up our souls, I'm not just talking about the words that we say to other people. I'm also talking about the words that we preach to ourselves. Because you realize that? You preach to yourself every single day. Y'all are preachers. You are. You preach to yourself every single day. If you were like me in like grade 6, I actually preached to myself in the mirror. All the time. I'm like, I wake up and be like, you are awesome. You are going to do great today. And you are going to ace this test, even though you didn't study. It's like you do. You preach to yourself all the time. You tell yourself things all the time. But the question I want to ask is, what do you tell yourself every day? And where does that stuff come from? Right? If we have gunked up, messed up, just gross stuff going on in there, and you're preaching to yourself, how credible are those words? How life-giving are those words if it's full of gunk? See, what's something that John mentions over and over and over again in this passage? If we do not live like Jesus, the Word, capital W, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Follow me here. Because if we live like the Word, sorry, if we do not live like the Word, then His Word, little w, is not in us. So if we're not living like the Word, big W, then His Word, Scripture, is not in us because we are called to obey His commands. Get in the Word. Can I say it again? Get in the Word. Get in the Word to guard your heart. I hope by me saying that 3 times in a row, it'll finally start to click. Because if we're not in the Word, brothers and sisters, okay, we can't make it. Can I say this? We can't make it. We won't make it. Unless we let God's word be our words. Let me say that again. We can't make it if we don't let God's word be our words. If we're not preaching to ourselves God's word, then how credible is that source? We have to admit to ourselves, please, please, we have to admit to ourselves that we need Jesus. We have to admit to ourselves that we are saints that sin. Okay, we're not sinners that still need saving if we're in Christ. We're saints that sin. And that's why we so desperately need Jesus. And if we confess that to Him, if we say, Jesus, listen, dude, I need you so bad. You've seen my life. You know how I live. I need you. He promises to cleanse us of that. He promises us righteousness. But if we let our words be preached to ourselves, we're going to be able to come up with every excuse imaginable to block out the truth. We will. Because we'll allow ourselves to say, I'm not so bad as so-and-so. I mean, you look at other people and you go, I didn't do that. I mean, look how this person lives. I am way better than them. In fact, I'm kind of putting myself between this person, but you know what? This person over here, man, they are like, whew, like superstar Christian. I'm not there yet. But I want to be like them. I want to be like that person because they really love Jesus. And how quickly does our message of the gospel, our perception of the gospel message get so contorted and so twisted and so toxic that then we block out every bit of truth possible and we even go so far as to say, well, I didn't do that, so I'm good. No, we're not. No, we're not. Don't allow yourself to say that ever. Well, I'm good. No. Stop right there. Halt the train. Put up blocks. Don't go any further. Because the moment that we say, I'm good, we're taking our own salvation into our own hands. Don't do it. Do not preach to yourself, well, I'm good. No. Because without God, we are not good. We have to understand that. That without God, without Jesus in our lives, we are not good. And the fact that we say that we are good, that's the great lie. That's the great lie that we preach to ourselves that says, oh, I'm good. I've got this. And again, we may not say that, but we live it out. That's how we approach day in and day out lives. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, I'm better than so-and-so, so I'm good. No, we're not. That is the great lie. And I'm going to put myself on the chopping block right here, right now. I've told some of you this story. So to repeat, just listen to it anyway, because I think it's a great story, because it's about my son. So we're driving out, and we're like, hey, we need to get up some groceries. So of course, being a family of young kids, my wife and I are like, we need to get a couple things from the dollar store. Absolutely. We shop at the dollar store. It's a buck. Come on. That's like cheap shampoo. I don't know. And we're like, we got to pick up a couple things. So of course, we load up everybody, because one of us just can't go. We have to do everything as a family. We're kind of weird that way. We go, hey, everything of that. So we get everybody up, go to the dollar store, and as soon as we pull up, there's a homeless guy sitting right out front of the door. And immediately, I mean, as soon as I saw this guy, it was almost audible. Kenny, you need to go talk to that guy. You need to go talk to that guy. Just go talk to him. Just go talk to him. And you guys are like, oh, well, you're a pastor. You went up, and I was like, nope. I didn't even glance at what God was saying. I looked at him, and he was like, talk to him. I was like, nope. Got the kids out of the car, walked right into the dollar store. And the whole time I'm walking down the aisles, God's just like, talk to that guy, talk to that guy, talk to that guy, talk to the guy, talk to the guy. And I'm like, hey, where's the paper towels? Like, I'm trying to yell over God, like, in my own head. I'm like, hey, where's, isn't there cars over here? Jer, would you want to get some cars? I'm like, I'm trying so hard to ignore God's voice the whole time. Go talk to the guy. Go talk to the guy. Go talk to the guy. So I finally, like, we're checking out, and I can see the guy, like, in the window, you know, from the cash register, and I'm looking at him. I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I just, like, God, can't I just go to the dollar store with my family and just get in the car, get my stuff, then get in the car and go home? Can I just do that, please? Talk to that guy, talk to the guy, talk to the guy. No, I'm not doing it. So I was like, I was just flat out rebellious. And this is like a few months ago, by the way, okay? I just want to clarify, I wasn't like a teenager. This was a couple of months ago. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. So then I go and I get in the car. I'm putting my kids in quick. I'm like, get in the car. I don't want to hear his voice anymore. And I'm cracking them up. And I get in the driver's seat, put it in reverse. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Beat ya. I win. And I started pulling in reverse, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself. I'm just like the worst, like most rebellious little teenager punk that God has ever seen. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. And then Crystal goes, wait. And I'm thinking there's a car coming behind us or something. She's like, oh, I forgot the soap. We got to go back in. I'm like, woman. Come on, like, I was so I put it in drive, I put it back in the parking spot, throw it in park, and I'm just sitting there steaming. So finally God just goes, talk to that guy. Fine, so I get out of the car, and I'm not happy, but I walk over to the guy, but then a good Christian, I walk over like this, and as soon as he sees me, I'm like, hey, how's it going? It's good to see you. So I go, and I'm like, hey man, how's it going? Like, I just felt like I needed to come talk to you. That's what I said. I was like, I just felt like I had to come talk to you. Like, what's up? Like, do you need something from inside? Do you need some help or anything? He just goes, man, he's like, I'm hungry. I was like, what, do you want me to get you something like inside here? Do you want to go get something? He's like, well, it may seem like a strange request, but I really want one of those like meat pies from Thrifty's. And I'm thinking, meat pie? Like, again, in my head, I'm thinking like a cherry pie, but with meat and kind of like this weird gravy thing. And I'm like, ugh, that does not sound delicious at all, but your call, bro. And he's like, yeah, I go to Thrifty's and I mean, ask for like the meat pie. And I'm like, okay. So I take Jeremiah. So I'm like, hey, let's go. And Chris is back at this point. I kind of tell her the story. I'm like, okay, here's what happened. She's like, Kenan, you didn't go over. I was like, ah, no, don't you guilt me either. So we drive over. We get into Thrifty's. And I go over and I order the meat pie. And I'm like, can I have a meat pie? Jeremiah's with me. And beforehand, I got to tell you this, beforehand, Jeremiah and I had a conversation. And I told him, I was like, hey, buddy, you see that guy over there? And he's like, yeah, he's 3. And I go, so he, you know how you have a bed and a pillow to, you know, sleep on? He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, this man's going to sleep outside tonight. That's sad, isn't it? He's like, yeah. And I was like, and he doesn't have any dinner tonight. That's sad too, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, do you want to go and let's get him something to eat? And his face brightened up. He's like, oh, yeah, let's do that. And I was like, okay, buddy, we're going to go be Jesus, okay? We're going to go be Jesus for this guy. He's like, awesome. So he is like skipping. Again, remember, I was dragging my feet to help this guy. Jeremiah is like skipping. It's like, yeah. No wonder we're called to have a childlike obedience to God. There you go. Okay. Perfect example of that. So we go and we get the meat pies and I get one and I'm ready to walk out. And Jer goes, daddy. I'm like, yeah, buddy, what's up? And he's like, we didn't get anything for him. I'm like, yeah, it's right here. He's like, no. Another one. It was just the irony that God was just trying to place in my heart of like, dude, you were going to get one meat pie for this guy, and your 3-year-old son's wanting to give him 2? Come on, step your game up. So I'm like, fine. So I go over, I take this meat pie, and I'm like, hey, I need another one. He's like, sweet. So we take 2 of them, and I give them to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is like, and he's skipping. I mean, he's so excited to give these meat pies to this guy. It was a chicken pot pie is what it was. I don't know why they got called it a meat pie, but it's a chicken pot pie, way more delicious, so I was ready to go give it to him. So we walk back over. And I have got Jeremiah in between my knees, you know, as dads do, kind of like walking him up like this, right? And I got my hand on, kind of on his chest, and I talked to the guy. I'm like, hey, buddy, it's like, his name was John, go figure. And I was like, hey, John, so we went and got some food for you, buddy. I hope this blesses you. I hope that, you know, this is just something that you can see God through. And if there's anything you ever need, I hope that we're there as the church. I mean, I kind of preached to him a little bit, and then I'm just kind of hearing this voice like, dude, stop it. Stop it. You're trying too hard. Stop it. I'm like, okay. So I go, hey, Jer, why don't you give the man the meat pies? And he's so adorable. He's, you know, 3 years old. He's kind of got it like this, right? Then he kind of goes and, like, jumps right back into my legs and whatever. And I was like, thanks, John. And then John, like, leans forward and he goes, hey, buddy, thanks so much. Gives Jeremiah a fist bump. That was it for him. He was over the moon. He's like, yes, fist bumped. Gets back in the car. I'm strapping him in. And right now, I'm finally beginning to see Jesus in this situation. I go, okay, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Again, I was preaching to myself that I just want to go home. I don't want to deal with this. I just want to go home. And then as I'm strapping Jeremiah in, he looks at me with this beaming, glowing face and goes, Daddy, we did it. I was like, I know, buddy, we did. That was awesome, wasn't it? I was like, we fed that guy. He's like, no, Daddy, we did it. We were Jesus. Oh, just wrecked me. I'm like, oh, you let me dead, buddy. So proud. So proud. Because, see, to serve people like that, to live 6-8 lives, basically to do everything that we are trying to do as Christians, guess what? Kenan doesn't think that way. Kenan's hands don't work that way. Kenan's heart doesn't jump at that and go, woo! Kenan doesn't do that, but Jesus does. There's the kicker. Kenan doesn't do that stuff, but Jesus does. That's why I want us to be so careful about those words of, I am good, when he alone is good. So we have to have God's word in our hearts so that when we preach to ourselves, we replace our words with his. Because we are called to obey. Do not let your words be toxic any longer. Don't let what comes out of your mouth be toxic any longer, whether that's to people or to yourself. Because we on our own can't do it, but Jesus can. But Jesus can. And that is so evident with this table. We're going to take communion together as a church. And it's so evident with this table that Jesus can do what we could not. We could not save ourselves from the ultimate, we read about it last week with Lazarus and the rich man. The fate that awaits those who don't believe in Jesus. That was our punishment. That was our direction until Jesus took it to the cross, died, and then left it there. When he rose again, he left it there. And so now we're called to remember. Because as we take the crackers and the juice, there's nothing special about this table. There's nothing that is going to save you because of this table. No, this is a reminder. This is a reminder of that sacrifice that he gave us so that we could have life. So that we could stand in the mirror and say, buddy, you're no good, but Jesus is. So let's rejoice of that. I want to pray and ask the ushers to come forward as we are getting ready and preparing for communion. I want to just pray for us as we are getting ready and to prepare us a little bit. Because I hope and I pray that this morning that we reflect on all of it. The influences in our lives, the fears that are in our lives, the words that we tell ourselves and others. We reflect on those things and remember that with this, guess what? It stayed buried in the grave. All that stuff. We are free from all of that because it stayed buried in the grave. So let's pray, and then we're going to take communion together. Father God, we lift you up in this place. We thank you that you are so incredibly amazing. We can't even comprehend your amazingness. God, you are awe-inspiring. And I pray that we take this seriously as we remember your sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we could forever be with you. God, you are good. We are not. God, you are good. We are not. Holy Spirit, be in this place and continue to wreck our hearts. God, begin to break up the plaque that's in there right now. And begin the process of a soul detox. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.